We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 30. I want to begin our reading, if you will, again, for a little while at least. Keep your Bibles open. And I want to begin reading it, verse 8, and read to the end of the sentence. All right, and if you'll follow along with me there in your scriptures and keep the scriptures open for just a few minutes, and we're going to perhaps go off more on a topical venture than we have been going, but I believe this is the way the good Lord will have us go tonight. Okay, we begin at verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Will you please pray with us and for us? Father, how we thank you for the privilege you've given us to be in your house this evening. How I thank you for every person who is here. And as the good pastor has said, a good number out on Wednesday night. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible Way Baptist Church. Thank you for this body of believers which comprise it. Thank you for their attitude, and thank you for their kindness and grace toward us. And thank you, Lord, for their interest in the things that revolve around you and your pastor and this church. And Lord, I ask you to help me in Jesus' name tonight to be faithful to you and to the burden that's upon our heart. Use us in this hour, that we might glorify the Christ of God, and that we might edify each and every believer. Now, Lord, we pray, should there be that one in our midst who is not saved, somehow, Lord, that you will finger around their heart, making them aware of their need of Christ. I pray, thy will be done. In Jesus, our Lord's name, amen and amen. I want us to look to begin with at a brief outline of this chapter. Four things surfaces as we spent some time looking into this chapter. We're going to give you the divisions as these things came to me and label them that we might understand what's going on here in Isaiah's prophecy. In verses 1 through 7, we noticed here a deserved discountenance. We find that Isaiah is declaring God's displeasure against his people. And the reason for that is, look at verse 1, where he says, may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Verse 7, for the Egyptians shall help in vain. Here is a people who belong unto God, who have seen the mighty works of God, and now they are in trouble, suffering some form of chastisement for their waywardness away from God. And rather than turn to God and get right in their hearts, they are considering going down into Egypt and getting the help of the Egyptians to help them in the situation they are here, surrounded by enemy forces. And then, beginning at verse 8, all the way through verse 17, is a tragic testimony. because here is the spurning of the prophet's preaching. I'm not going to read that. I'm going to reread a portion of it in just a moment. But all the way from verse 8 down through verse 17, we find here that the people do not want to hear what the preacher is preaching. The visitation partner and I were visiting a couple of Sundays ago, and he brought this to me and how true it is. It shows the tragedy that's going on in the life of the people of God. He said, you know, you see some people today, they have tried everything and nothing has brought any peace and contentment to their heart. And their needs are growing each and every day. And you come to them and try to witness to them and say, what you really need is Jesus Christ. Oh, no, not that, they say. What you need is to line up with the Scriptures. God has a way here for you to get out of the trouble that you're in. But they don't want that. And so that's a tragedy, but that is the truth. And if you've done much witnessing, you have run into people like that. They've tried everything in the world. Nothing has brought any peace and consolation and satisfaction, but yet they think God cannot do that. May I say, God is the only one who can do that and get them out of that shape that they're in. But what people don't realize sometimes is what sin does in their life. Sin has a hardening factor to a person's heart. It has a blinding factor to their eyes. It has a deafening factor to their ears that they will listen to about anything but the very thing that's going to get them out of the trouble that they find themselves in. And so I'm going to have to hurry. But notice the third portion of this chapter. Here is the precious promise. Beginning at verses 18 all the way down through verse 26, the prophet is saying this. If you will side with the Lord, if you'll get right with the Lord and you'll walk with Him, then you can rest assured that the Lord is going to bless you. Now, what I say to that is what a merciful God you and I serve. When we have failed Him and we've gotten out of His will from time to time, and yet He is merciful, and if we will return and ask forgiveness, He will forgive us and restore us and bless us just like we'd never done anything wrong. Now, that's a great God you and I serve tonight. Boy, I'm glad I know Him. I'm glad I know these sides about Him. I really am. And then the last thing, beginning at verse 27 and going to the end of the chapter, is a confirmed conquest. And that is the suppressing of the Assyrians. The Assyrians are a threatening menace in the north. And they have gone out and brought nation after nation under their rod. It is terrible how that they have treated those whom they have overcome and brought in and under their jurisdiction. But God says, if you'll walk with me and you'll get right with me, He says, I will put them under for you. I will take care of them. Now, already in the Kings earlier, we learn where one angel of the Lord went out and slew 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. So God has already proved what He's able to do. But the problem here is with Isaiah. Now stay with me. I'm going somewhere. All right? Now Isaiah calls for two things. Number one, he calls for repentance. You need to repent. And number two, he calls for separation. So here comes the preacher on the front preaching, repent and separate yourself from evil. And here comes this man. They don't want him. Now my question to you tonight is this. What kind of a preacher do you want? Now you remember that through this sermon tonight. What kind of a preacher do you want? Here are some people who had God's man. He is the prophet whom God has raised up and called and sent to be a speaker unto his people, to prove to them God's great love for them, and they do not want him. Now let me say a few more statements and we'll get to the message. What a blessing the church could be, and what joy she could experience if she were loosed from alien alliances. There is a U.S. senator in 2003. He came by our church. My brother's daughter married into his family. He is not from the state of Tennessee, but he is a U.S. senator. And after he and his family, I think they had about 6 children, had come to our church, we went over into the fellowship hall, and my wife and daughters had prepared a meal for them. Of course, we knew they were coming. And so we talked a while, and this dear senator said to me, he said, I've been going to the same church in Jacksonville, Florida for 25 years, and we're right now on the verge of leaving the old traditional way of worship and going contemporary. And I want you to pray with me that the Lord will help us to stay traditional. Of course, that would mean he would leave because he was a very conservative person. Now, let me say this. I do know that there are some very wicked men in rule in Congress. You know that too. But all of them aren't. There are some people up there who honor God with their life. This man was a wonderful Christian man. And I thought about if the church could just be loosed from programs and we could get back some way to preaching and to a passion for souls. Wouldn't that not be something, ladies and gentlemen? And you see, the average church. Now, I know I'm not preaching to the average church. Let me set that straight. I know that. I'm not preaching to the average church. I do preach in some average churches. But the average church is so in step with the world. I mean, it's disgraceful, and I know that it breaks the heart of God for his people who profess to belong unto him. And even sometimes maybe some above average churches are in step with the world. But I made my mind up by the grace of God that I'm not going out and bring the world into the church in order to attract people of the world and get them into the church. Amen. I've come too far. Amen. I've seen too much. I've experienced the touch of God and the blessings of the Lord upon my life too greatly. Amen. To turn around and to turn out of the way and walk in the way of the world, no matter what it means. Amen. Now, I want to reread verses 10 and 11. And you read them with me, please. Which say to the seers, see not. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Now, if this is not by appeal, because this is the Lord speaking here through the pen and the prophecy of Isaiah, if it's not the people actually saying this to Isaiah in words in the form of an appeal, let me assure you by their action and by their attitude, they are portraying how they feel about the man of God whom God has sent unto them. I want us to look now, as it was then, so it is now. Okay? So it is now. Here is what the Israeli people were saying unto God's prophet. Make pliant what God declares. But let me say unto you tonight, Everything that God has declared is unpliable. Amen. God does not bend His word for anybody. Amen. This preacher is God's man. I know he is. But I assure you, God's not going to bend His word for him. And He's not going to bend His word for me. And this is a great church, and I thank God to be privileged to preach in it. But I assure you that God is not going to bend His word for this church or for the church that I pastor or the church that Dr. Barton attends. He's not going to do that. God is just God. Amen. Here's my text. What kind of a preacher do you want? Now let me say this. You can have about any kind you want. When I was a boy growing up, and I know you can't do that now, but every teacher I had in elementary education was a born-again Christian. Every one of them was a Methodist. There was a little Methodist church there in the valley, and every one of them attended that church. And in fact, if one of them were sick and could not be there, you know who they got to fill in for them? The pastor of the church. And his name was Papa Dale. I remember to this day. And you know what he did all day long? He just told us Bible stories and taught us songs about the Lord Jesus. But what a far cry that is from what would go on today. But I'm just telling you, in those days, you couldn't find any kind of a preacher you wanted when I was growing up, because about all of them walked the line. But I'm telling you now, you can find about any kind you want. You can almost order you one. Amen. You can get on the internet and just about order you what you think you want. And so my question to you tonight and for the next few minutes is this: what kind of a preacher do you want? Now, every once in a while, we'll run into somebody who attended our church. And we'll say, "We've sure been missing you. We wish you would come back." And here's the response: "Well, I just don't feel comfortable down there." Well, now, let me ask you something. Where in the Word of God do we find this is a comfort station anyhow? And a dear lady, now I know this is different, but I want you to hear me. It's all in the book. Amen. The message I preached last night's in the book. This is in the book too. All right, now listen to me. Listen to me. A lady in our church said to me on occasion, she said, "Brother Jones," said, "I told so-and-so, they said they were looking for a church," and said, "I told them just to find the kind of a church they would feel comfortable in." I said, "Why did you tell them that?" And she said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Why did you tell them to find a church they feel comfortable in? That's our problem now. Every once in a while, we need somebody to preach the devil out of us." Did you hear me? I said, "Out of us." Every once in a while, that's what we need. Amen. We get too woolly. As God's sheep, we need to have a good shearing every once in a while. You know I'm telling you the truth. Every one of us is plagued with the same thing. If we just own up to it, every once in a while we need somebody to rear back and preach the sin out of our life. "I just don't feel comfortable down there," she said. You know what that's just like a dagger into the heart of the pastor. Wonder why. And the first thing the pastor does, he starts going over his ministry. He reverts back to when he first started. And he begins to question his motives. He begins to look in and investigate if he's where he was when he first started and all of that. The pastor knows this, that the true pastor, and you do have a true pastor knows that this church could have found somebody that might can preach better than he can. I told our church that 38 years ago, Pastor. I said, "You could have found a preacher that can preach a whole lot better than I can, but you're going to have to look hard and long to find one that'll love you like I'm going to love you. And that's got to weigh something. If I've ever been with a pastor under the sun that loves his people, I'm with one this week. You ought to hear what I've heard. You don't know how well you've got it. I was preaching for a pastor, and the phone rang. And he said, "Sometimes I'd like to jerk that thing out of the wall." It was one of his church members calling him. He said, "Sometimes when some of them call, I'll just say, 'Hello.' So they won't talk long." I'm telling you what I heard a pastor say. How many of you have ever experienced that with him? What kind of a preacher do you want? You want one that tiptoes through the tulips? You can find them. You probably wouldn't have to drive too far to find one. You really wouldn't. What kind do you want? I got a call once. This has been several years back. I said, "Brother Jones," said, "we've been to meetings where you've preached, and we are wondering if you would be interested in being our pastor." I said, "No, sir." I said, "I wouldn't." I said, "I'm where the Lord put me, and I think I'm exactly where He wants me to be." And you know what that man said? He said, "Preacher, will you help us find a pastor?" I said, "I'll do my best." He said, "All we want is somebody to love us. Should not the shepherd love the sheep? Will not a true shepherd give his life for the sheep? It's the hireling that flees when the wolf cometh, but the shepherd will stand there and fight to the expense of his own life for the protection of the sheep." What kind of a preacher do you want? Thank God for a preacher of the truth. And I don't have time to develop this, so let me just give it to you quickly. But let me say this. You can't learn the truth just anywhere. Need I say that again? You can't learn the truth just anywhere. You have to have a man, amen, who knows the truth and who will stand on the truth regardless of who stands against it. He will stand on it and stand with it in the face of trouble, in the face of defection, no matter what it is. He's going to stand for what is right. You just can't go anywhere and find a preacher that's preaching the truth. You're finding people with hordes of people following them. They're not preaching them the truth. They don't really care. They have the prestige of being a pastor and the profit of drawing a check. And that's about all that really matters to them. Truth identifies us for the people we are. Jesus said to Pilate, "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." My voice is what Jesus said. Truth also sanctifies us for the position that we are in. Because the Lord Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." He said that among those disciples that night in the upper room when he's going to die on the following day. And may I say that truth fortifies us for the propagation of it. Paul said, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Our whole life has one objective, and that's the propagation of the truth, no matter what it might cost. The pastor has endeavored to preach the truth. Three or four men and some ladies have made nice comments to me about this pastor. And I'm sure the majority by far would make the same comment if you thought you needed to or whatever. Good things, positive statements about the pastor. Never altered the truth for anyone. Never substituted anything else for the truth intentionally for anyone. And I'm telling you, we are in need, church, in our land, of real pastors who will truly be under shepherds for the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let me ask you again, what kind of a preacher do you want? We're living in a spoiled generation. Down the road, it's a preacher who will preach what we want to hear. I heard this preacher one time. You forgive me if I'm judgmental, but I've been around a long time. I've seen a lot of things. Hello, Brother Rose. I've seen a whole lot of things. I heard this preacher saying, come over to our church. All we do at our church is tell Bible stories and brag on Jesus. I said, yeah, what you're saying is this. Come on over to our church and we won't preach on your sin. I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't sit under a pastor that wouldn't get on me every once in a while. I think he hadn't been walking with God, because God knows what I am inside and what I am outside. I'd want somebody every once in a while to challenge my life a little bit. I go to camp meetings and I listen to these men who've been in the ministry. Some of them are my juniors, some of them are my seniors, but I listen to all of them. And I found amazingly how much help I can get from somebody else bringing things to my attention that I need to concern myself with. We're living in a spoiled generation. We're living in a sin-loving generation. Comfort for the flesh. That's what we've got. Just don't rub me wrong. Someone said to Billy Sunday one time, I know you've heard of him. They said to Billy Sunday, they said, Billy said, you're rubbing the cat's fur the wrong way. Billy said, there's nothing wrong with the way I'm rubbing the cat's fur. The problem is the cat's turned the wrong way. But you turn the cat around and I'll be rubbing it right. You ever heard of getting your fur ruffled? I've had mine ruffled a few times, and thank God for the man who had enough backbone to do it. Hey, I'm not content with just mediocrely floating through life. I want a challenge before me. I want to just what you said to me tonight at the supper table. You said next year, a year from now, I ought to be closer to the Lord than I am right now. And if that's not our goal, then we've got a problem inwardly. And I'm going to tell you, the only way we're going to get there is through preaching of the Word of God. Whether we read the Bible and the Holy Ghost preaches to us, or we sit under a pastor or a good, godly Sunday school teacher who will tell us the truth. Contentment for the go. Whatever makes me happy. That's all that matters. Boy, you need to come over to our church. That he really makes you feel good. Well, he ought to make you feel bad every once in a while. Because you got the same problem I've got. And it's got five letters in it. Flesh. Yeah, that one too. We all got the same problem. And we need to be confronted with things in our life. No one here has arrived. I assure you of that. Amen. Now, listen to this. The journey that you and I are on is a straight and narrow way. I said to our sister back there who bought her son one of my books on soldiering. Said he loved to read books. And I was pointing out to her the man who designed that cover on soldiering. I called him and I said, you probably did this by accident, but let me tell you something. There's a four-point sermon on that cover. Number one, there's approaching darkness. Everywhere you look, darkness is setting in. Nationally, ecclesiastically, socially. And number two, there's rough terrain. And number three, there's a possibility of ambush right around the corner. And number four, loneliness. Much of our life as a Christian, Pastor, we're going to have to live it lonely. Because a lot of people don't want to walk this way. And if we've got to have a crowd to go along with us, let me tell you something. We're on the wrong road. Because the crowd is on the bright, broad road. Amen. And the wide road. And the crowd is going the opposite direction from where you and I are headed. Amen. We're on the narrow road. Amen. The narrow gate. Through the straight gate you and I have entered. And it's a narrow road that we're on. And there be few, Jesus said, that finds it. I'm not talking about being saved. I'm talking about the Christian life. There be few that find it. You're not going to find majority people wanting to walk the straight and narrow. It's going to be lonely. Please don't look at me like I'm any kind of an example, because I'm not. Let me repeat myself. I'm probably the worst Christian in here. But let me tell you something. I know what it is to work for a company, and I'm the only Christian in the whole place. Now, I'm not saying that braggadociously. I'm telling you the truth. Two ladies that worked in the front office attended a Baptist church. They told me they were Christians. Every year, the office complex had about 15 people in it. And every year, the vendors would come around, because we did a lot of business with them, with their gifts. And they come to these people who made fun of me. They come up with some off the wall something somewhere down the islands. A man raising people from the dead, and people walking through the through a rain, and God put an umbrella over them, and they didn't get a drop of water on them in a downpour, and they proved they walked through the rain because their feet were muddy. I said, well, looked like God could have kept their feet from getting muddy too. And boy, they call me a skeptic. I hate to admit my ignorance, but I didn't know what a skeptic was. So I just grinned, went home, got the dictionary down, found out what they'd call me. But here come those vendors. They come to that first lady and said, you want bourbon, scotch, or rye? She told them. They pulled a big bottle out and set it on her desk. Came the next lady. Now, I'm talking about these two ladies. Attended a Baptist church, made fun of me. Came the second one, scotch, bourbon, rye, she told him, said on her desk, went all the way down the line. Brother Darren's heard this before. to my desk, they didn't ask me a thing. They reached in that box, pulled out a 5-pound box of candy, put it on my desk, and kept walking. I'm telling you, it's a lonely way. I know what it is to go in on Monday morning and be fun up here. I'm talking about all their fancy weekends they said they had. I know what that's like. Make fun of me? What'd you do yesterday, Jones? I went to church. Don't come to me of that junk. But let me tell you something. When one of them got in trouble,
yes, sir.
Guess whose door that
yes,
came
sir.
Knocking on?
Yes, sir. Somebody could get a hold of
him. That's exactly right. Now, I'm not bragging. Please don't you think. I'm just telling you, this way with Jesus is a lonely walk. When you study the life of Jesus, you'll find out he spent a lot of times alone, too. And you're going to spend a lot of time alone. But I'm going to tell you, I'd rather have the touch of God and the visits of the Lord and have my heart refreshed and warm like it was tonight in this good singing, in our good fellowship. I'll take that over the crowd any day. I'll take the old time way over everything else that man has to offer. What kind of a preacher do you want? Well, here's a common thing. Don't make waves. Leave me to myself. You're all the time sticking your nose into my business. No, sir. You are my business. I made this statement to my people. Never, never, never. You will die waiting for me to quit preaching against things that's displeasing to God in your life.
Amen.
Because I love you. I care what happens to you. I've seen too many young men. I've seen too many young women get their lives messed up because they didn't want to hear the truth and abide by the truth. I thank God he's a forgiving God and a restoring God. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I can, it's like Gypsy Smith said this, it's better to build a fence on the cliff than a hospital in the valley. Better to keep somebody from going off over the edge than treating them once they do go off over the edge, all right?
Amen.
Now listen. Let's get down to earth just a minute or two. I would be thrilled at the prospect of someone trying to keep my child away from poison. Preacher, dear brother, dear brother, dear brother, dear brother, dear brother, if my boy was about to involve himself in poison and one of you saw it and you said, don't drink that. Leave that alone. That will destroy you. That's poison. That will kill you. You know what I would do? I'd embrace you and you would be my friend forever. If my boy was about to do something or my daughter was about to do something that's going to end her up behind the prison bars, and you stepped in, you got in her way or his way, and you prevented that, I'd embrace you. You would be my friend forever. Then why in the world does the parents get mad at the preacher for trying to keep their children out of trouble? What kind of a preacher you want? What kind of a preacher do you want? My children are being pressured into doing wrong. And I'm going to tell you something. There is a factor for sure of peer pressure that's going on. Pushing and pushing and pressuring young people. If somebody could ease that, that would help my child not to get in trouble and to cave into that pressure, they would be my friend forever. Hey, let me tell you something. I need help. I need somebody. Of course, all of my children are grown and married, and thank God they're all doing well. But I'm going to tell you something. I needed help then. I didn't get mad at somebody for telling me that my child was about to get in trouble. But I'm telling you now, in the average Baptist church, women will climb your frame. You don't think my child knows how to select their friends. I want to say, you're exactly right, ma'am, but I don't. That's what I want to say. They don't. Why is it that young people have to make some of the most important decisions in their life before they're old enough and wise enough to make them? How are you, young lady? 18, 15. You fine ladies, I'm sure. But neither one of you are old enough to run your life. You need a mama and a daddy that knows how to pray, and you need a pastor who will guide your life. Listen to them. They put demands on your life. Do them. Don't be a fool like I was. Got tired of hearing mom and dad order me around, and I joined the Marine. Well, that's a smart guy one. I'm telling you, we don't know how. But thank God for advisors. You got a good godly Sunday school teacher, talk it over with them. Got a good godly pastor, talk it over with him. Don't run off and get somebody to side with you. Get somebody who'll take the Bible and say, here's what the book says. What kind of a pastor do you want? I want a pastor that'll warn my child. I want a pastor that'll weep over my child. And I want a pastor that'll work with my child. What a godsend you have. If you have a preacher that I've been talking about, and if you didn't have, I wouldn't have preached this sermon. I wrestled a long time about this sermon. And if I didn't believe that your pastor fit these qualifications I'm preaching about now, I would never preach this sermon. But if you've got a pastor, may I say, since you've got a pastor like that, you better hold his hands up. You're not going to run out here and just find. You can find preachers. Dr. Rainwater said it like this. Said, you shake a tree and a dozen preachers will fall out. But it said you'll have to shake a dozen trees to get one pastor to fall. Whole lot of difference. In our area, I don't know how it is here, but in our area, Brother Darren's aware of it. There's a lot of churches don't want a pastor, and there's a lot of preachers don't want to pastor a church. So you got one? Hold his hands up. Honor him. Help him in every way you can. Do everything you can for him. Shine his shoes. Wash his car. When you go to the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter, there's three times you read there about them that have the rule over you. That doesn't mean he sits with an iron rod in his hand and orders you around, beats you around. That means he's your spiritual guide. Said to remember them that have the rule over you. Obey them that have the rule over you, and salute all of them that have the rule over you. Those three things right there. If a church will practice, they will take a lot of load off of the pastor, and the pastor will be freer to minister to you as you're going to need ministering. Amen and amen.